Hello, Professor Peter Lynham.
And how are you going today?
I'm good. What are we chatting about this afternoon on That's the Spirit?
Well, we're chatting about the spectacular display of hundreds, 650, I think, Anglican bishops all gathered together in Canterbury and places like that, and wondering whether this grand old Anglican church is going to hold together during this 10-yearly conference.
Hang on, just rewind a bit. So this is a global Anglican conference. It hasn't happened since 2008. So it's in Canterbury in the UK?
Yes. So, I mean, it's been happening once every 10 years, more or less, since 1867. And New Zealand has got something of an important role in this because the 1867 conference, Bishop Selwyn was the Bishop of New Zealand, and really he was a major influence in the shape of the early days of the idea that Anglicanism could cease to be just English and could become a global church. So their theory of how to hold it all together would be that the bishops would get together once every 10 years. It was supposed to be 2020, but obviously, for obvious reasons, it's been a couple of years late this time. I think some of them may be wishing that they hadn't agreed to meet every 10 years.
All these bishops globally from the Anglican Church will get together every decade or so and chat about how to get more Anglicans or make the church experience better. What's the plan?
All of the above. Now, remember, this is not the Catholic Church. This is Anglicans and Lutherans most obviously bear the mark of having some striking similarities to the Catholic Church in having bishops, in having kind of global outreach, and whose services look a bit like Catholic services. But the difference is that this one was spread through the British Empire, and it's a classic imperial creation.
Would you say the Anglican Church is, I mean, so the rules and general vibe that we live by in Aotearoa is partially or in large due to the Anglican Church?
Yeah, Anglicans have played a very significant role historically, even though they were never the state church in New Zealand. Once New Zealand began to develop self-government, Bishop Selwyn actually was on the provincial council, on the council of the state, until 1865. But the Anglicans were far and away the largest church in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, you know, in lots of the places which bear all the marks of being the empire and are now the Commonwealth, and increasingly they became the largest church in places like Kenya, Nigeria, Ghana, the like.
Yes. Now, so, I mean, but Peter, I've done a bit of a dig, and regarding the Lambeth conference. Apparently they're supposed to meet in 2018, but there was so much scrapping going on within the church about same-sex marriage that they had to say, cool it down, guys, we're not even going to meet, and they postponed. Is that correct?
Well, there you are. And then now they've had 4 years, and they're still scrapping about same-sex marriage. It looks like that's the biggie.
Couldn't they just see the bigger picture and go, all right, globally, people are trying to be more inclusive. We want to look like the cool church here. Can't we be more inclusive?
And indeed, Anglicans, beginning with the US, have been certainly that way. Anglicans have stood out in the US as being probably, you know, the most progressive denomination in terms of willingness to have same-sex bishops, even, and the like. And in New Zealand, too. New Zealand's become pretty inclusive since 2018, though. So yes, I think in the West, but it's a tangled situation, because it still looks to Britain, and British Anglicans have been very fence-sitting on these issues.
Yes.
Because they feel that they've got to provide a lead that doesn't split the church away from, well, let's face it, the Africans. Because mm-hmm. this is the puzzle.
Is Africa where the money is?
Not where the money is, but it's where the people are.
Yes.
So these days, far and away the biggest churches in numerical terms the enormous Nigerian church.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how many million Anglicans there are in Nigeria, and very significant similar numbers in Kenya and Ghana and places like that.
With the size of those churches, surely the congregations would be giving some money to the church, though, in these areas?
Oh, sure, but I mean, they don't have the vast investments. It's still the American Episcopalians and the British Anglicans who pump money out into the worldwide church, even though their actual attendance is relatively low. They're just so very wealthy.
Yeah. Peter, just quickly, you talked about, obviously this is like a very, the Anglican church is very like the old empire of the churches. I mean, if they were going to actually sit down and have a real discussion about, quote, creating a post-colonial model, what would that look like for the Anglican Church?
Well, I mean, you could argue that a post-colonial model wouldn't have these bishops prancing around in fancy dress and displaying status and power, and you wouldn't have the Archbishop of Canterbury, and you wouldn't stage everything in Canterbury Cathedral, which is, you know, the most ancient church in Britain.
Yes.
Or cathedral anyway. And so the whole shape of the church is imperial to its core.
Mm.
And even in New Zealand, it's very hard to conceive, because, I mean, you just look at Auckland Anglicanism and you see the buildings that stretch back and the connection made with Bishop Selwyn and the money that exists, because the church, the Anglican church, owns all the prominent sites, you know.
I just, I think of the cathedral at the top of Parnell and the two people hanging out up there and go, sweet property, but not that many people going to church on a Sunday.
And precisely, and this is part of the problem, that the old kind of, it was an establishment. And there was a time when establishment meant that it was the strongest and most acceptable.
Mm.
Not anymore across the West. So that's why it's the enormous African churches that count for something.
Mm.
But, you know, here's an interesting thought. What if, in fact, it seems very likely that there's going to be a vote on the issue back in 1998, somehow or other, they voted that gay clergy were not allowed and that gay sex was wrong.
Mm.
Now, if they did that today, the Australians prevaricate on the issue. Typical.
The Australians, I beg your pardon?
They can't make up their mind. They're sharply divided.
Okay.
But Canadians, New Zealanders, Americans, Welsh, Scottish, the English are a bit uncertain, but those churches could be expelled by the Lambeth Congress, by the Lambeth Conference, because we've taken a position which is unacceptable to the majority of Anglicans.
Okay,
now that's an interesting thought.
All right.
So, what would happen to the Imperial Church then, if you like? I mean, it's a bit like the Commonwealth Games.
I was just going to drag the Commonwealth Games into it. Maybe that could all be tied in with a medal tally per head of population at each.
Yes, I think so. It's an interesting thought. But the trouble is, they can't decide on the rules.
Yes.
I mean, and it's very hard to have a competition if you can't agree on the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been fighting already about how to vote for measures. They were initially given an electronic, in one of those things where you press on your phone and it counts your votes.
Mm.
But they've voted against that and they want a show of hands now.
Yes.
And that's respect. You know, you might almost think it will become dignified, of course. Anglicans always dignified. A dignified shouting match.
Really? I mean, it just seems, obviously, we're sitting down here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, talking about this, but it just seems so backwards that this would be an issue that there'd be people, you know, really falling out over.
Yeah. But you've just got to ask yourself, when will this issue cease to divide people?
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, it's not just Christians, it's Muslims, my goodness.
Do you have a prediction, Peter? Do you think it will, do you think, like, in the next decade we'll see it evaporate?
I'm reading an incredibly interesting book by Philip Jenkins called Fertility and Faith, which came out last year. And it argues that as the fertility rate goes down, people become much more tolerant of different domestic arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
So same sex seems less wrong because you're not putting a huge priority on high fertility and you're not saying that the sperm's being wasted.
Yes.
And according to their predictions, the whole world, Philip Jenkins says, is going to dip below the ability to reproduce itself.
Yes.
By 2040.
Well, to be honest, we kind of need that, right? For pressure on the planet and the environment.
Oh, you bet we need it. But the interesting thing is that the impact of that is likely to be to make religion much less important. Because what religion does, in many ways, it endorses traditional family shapes. It endorses traditional forms of life and community. And all of those, according to Jenkins, by 2040, they can't possibly look like what they did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say let's postpone the lamb birth. Let them all go home now and come back in 2040.
There we go. We've got a date. All right. Hey, Peter Lynham, thank you very much. Very interesting. That's The Spirit. We'll look forward to chatting to you next week.
Okay. Very good.
Bye.